no such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do.
No, we don't.
A donkey eat anything. A donkey eat a pallet. There's nothing else to eat.
He was massive. Legs, ass, spit. But I burst out laughing watching him.
So congratulations are in order. We have Paul Murphy in the studio and Damien Hayes on the line. I'm sure you boys celebrated last night. Like, I mean, joint league champions. This is just a very, very huge day in Kilkenny, I suppose, Paul. Let's say Langton's outdoors is jam-packed.
Yeah.
Do you split the cup and send it down to Galway, or how do you manage this?
Well, we're negotiating at the moment to see what we're going to do. We might take it for a few months and they'll take it for a few months. But yeah, interesting way for the league to finish. And I suppose you see the talk even now at the moment, if Limerick and, or not Limerick, Kilkenny and Galway clash in the championship, that will kind of have an unusual scenario of a league and championship match going on the same day. But interesting way, and kind of, you know, I think even managers remarked on it that it's kind of it's a funny way for things to finish up on. But I think both camps will be happy, especially the Galway camp, really, the way they perform throughout the league.
Yeah, no, they definitely will. What about you, Damien? A very special day. You've got proper league titles in your on your mantelpiece, not one of these silly ones.
Yeah, exactly. These glorified ones. I've two National Hurling League medals, and like I used to always remember a remark, and I've often said it on the show, that Brian Cody used to say that he always thought the National Hurling League was the second biggest and most prestigious cup in the championship in the calendar year like this. But personally, Colm, I think it's a joke. I genuinely do. I think it's no way to finish a season. I seen games yesterday that meant technically nothing. You know, I seen teams putting out with an awful lot of their subs just to give them a run like this. I think that there should be a final. I think it should be all played off before the championship starts. I can't see, okay, teams are out in 2 weeks in championship, but you're like, could they not organise to play the league final between Galway and Kilkenny even next Friday night? I'm telling you, and have it aired. Like, just allow all the teams to be playing 15-a-side matches amongst themselves, run out before championship. I just feel that when you start something, you should finish it. And even like at the moment with the whole COVID, there's county finals being played that weren't played, or some of them still haven't, and they won't mean as much as they do in the calendar year to do. But I personally think it's a joke. There should be a final in the league season, and then let the championship go ahead. And I'm not a fan of it, not one bit. I don't like it.
Yeah, Galway Kilkenny next Friday night under lights, maybe if needed. Although they're bright enough evenings, Paul.
But,
like, I mean, how do you have a point?
But you couldn't they play on a Saturday in a Friday night in Turles? I'm only just giving an example, Colm, and running out the season.
I know that, and that's true. And I'm kind of on that side of it, because the irony here is, Paul, is that every single inter-county squad will play a 15 against 15, 70-minute game next Sunday morning.
Yeah, they probably will. I suppose from a county point of view, I mean, us sitting here as neutrals or as spectators wanting to see it, obviously we want to see a match, and if there was a match there, we'd take it. But again, even Damien alluded to the fact that some teams over the weekend maybe held back a few players. But if you realise, you know, we're 2-3 weeks away from championship here. If we do go and play a league final next weekend, which if they do organise it, I think you're just going to see more of it again, because we see very small injuries creeping into players at the moment because they've had such a busy schedule over the last few weeks, like the likes of Austin Leeson rolling the ankle, Connor Prunty and these lads. And these small injuries, which traditionally, like when Musef and Tamien would have been playing league, you would have had maybe 6 weeks or so run into championship, you can get rid of these injuries. But I think teams are looking at the moment, if you gave Galway and Kilkenny the option, they may play the match and they may use it as an opportunity for other players to get out. But they're also looking at Adrian Mullen, maybe the hamstring there, he's not going to be playing. You're looking TJ Reid, I might keep TJ Reid away. You know, you're going to look at players with any sort of a niggle. They're after been hurling for the last few weeks. I don't think, given the window that's there, I think it's understandable for teams that they'll go, no, listen, everybody will forget who's the league champions once the championship comes around anyway. So it's a small window, and I'd be sympathetic that way towards teams if they do decide, look, we're not going to play a league final, which they're not going to play it. But and the fact, I think, as well, also that the scenario is there that Kilkenny and Galway potentially could be playing in a few weeks, that, you know, are Kilkenny and Galway risking playing each other and getting injured? But I do understand what Damien's saying. Again, you'd like to see a league final, but you can understand both sides of the argument, for me anyway.
Yeah, no, we can. It's a unique year. Would you not be happy with the Leinster final? Because if Galway play Kilkenny in Leinster, Damien, it's going to be a Leinster final, so then you'll have a Leinster final, league final double. Two cups will be lifted.
No, I completely understand what you're saying. lads, but I would like to see the season finishing, and I'd like to see a National Hurling League winner, and then they go into the Leinster Championship. That's my, and I can see Paul's point of view that the risk of niggly injuries and all that. But and as you were saying, Austin Gleeson rolling his ankle. But lads, next Sunday morning when they're playing the match, there's going to be placed up for grabs. It'll be full belt. That's what the both management teams will want, or every management team will want. And a lad could roll his ankle as easy in a challenge match or a 15-a-side match amongst themselves as they could in the league final. I just would have liked to have seen the league played out. Yes, I can see the scenario, but lucky enough, maybe there could be a scenario that Galway and Kilkenny, and they probably will. There's a huge possibility that Galway and Kilkenny will play again in the latter stages. But if there wasn't, would you have been happy with Giants medals? Would they have just posted out 60 National Hurling League medals to both squads and then hand them out 30 each? Like, Giant winners. You know, I'm just not a favour of Giant winners. Who, like, that's like Giant Hurler of the Year goes to, you know. So I would just have preferred to have seen a league final.
Yeah, well, the awards night would obviously have to be halfway, wouldn't it?
And
have
more.
Yeah, here, Kabir, lads, I'm all on for, and we know the new skill in the game is the smash goal. We saw Cathal Mannion doing it. Conor Cooney just took the piss out of this. Like, I mean, poor Collins ended up on his arse. He wasn't really sure what was going on here, Paul.
Yeah, I was actually looking at it because I know we'd obviously been talking about it the last few weeks. When Cathal Mannion went through, I said, we have successive weeks here now where players are doing this. Cooney's goal was a different... I actually thought it took a deflection. I don't know. He obviously shot it into the ground. But yeah, players are getting clever, and each week we're seeing this again. So I think this is maybe every week or every round we're after seeing a smashed goal in it. So it's players are using it to their advantage at the moment.
They definitely are. Conor Cooney almost smashed it into the ground right in front of him, Damien, rather than in front of the goalkeeper. And Collins kind of just was falling back naturally to save it. If he'd stayed standing, he would have caught it.
It was actually a great piece of pace. Kilcannon got it and offloaded it to Cooney coming in the pace. And see, that skill column is very, very hard to hook. And that's one of the reasons why. So you can get the hook in if you're striking left and right, but when you throw the ball up in front, it's literally impossible. But Cooney, I actually, would you believe this? It was a touch of an accident and a fluke, because Cooney hit it and it actually hit the bounce of the ball. It was too close to him, but it worked in his favour. And the goalie fell back, Collins, and you can see him throwing his left hand with the goalie hole trying to get it, but he just couldn't get to it. So it worked in Cooney's favour, but the big skill on that and the big thing is Cathal Mannion going through, that it's virtually impossible to hook that type of player. And I'll tell you who got a goal like that in an All-Ireland final was Henry Shefflin against Limerick one year, where he got the ball, and when it came, he threw it up and he batted into the net. It's virtually impossible to get a hook in there. So that's why a lot of it has been trained on the training pitch, and Galway definitely are practicing that, because that doesn't just happen in a match by pure accident or pure freak. Two players scoring two similar type goals, it's definitely been trained in Galway.
Yeah. Did Henry start that, Paul? I saw you nodding along there.
Henry probably started everything, did he? I don't know. No, I do remember the goal. I think it was 2007 that Damien's talking about, yeah, and it was clever, and that's the thing, exactly what Damien's saying. You know, defenders, I think for goalkeepers as well, if you're a goalkeeper and you're looking at a forward coming in, depending on which side that forward's lining up, you can kind of maybe predict, well, the best goalkeepers will be able to predict potentially what side they're going to. But with the smash one, it could really go anywhere. And we see a lot of them actually travelling so close to the keeper that the keeper can't react. You know, they're just going over the shoulder. So I think it also adds the element of the keeper not really being able to predict where the ball is going to go. So it's a win-win really for the forward. And like Damien said, a back, it's just hardship to try and hook that or get some sort of a flick to spoil it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll stay with you here, Paul, for this, because Clare, your bogey team now officially. Like, I mean, Kilkenny cannot be Clare. That's official. 2016, since the last time. We're going to concentrate on that a bit in part two. I wanted to talk about the Walter Walsh injury, and I'm just talking of this as a supporter and as an observer. I thought that was a bit cynical what Conor Cleary did to him. He put him off, he tapped him on the arm with the hurl, and distracted Walter Walsh enough that the ball came straight down through his face guard into his nose. Now, am I reading too much into this, or was that sneaky by Cleary?
No, I don't think it was, to be honest. I think what he was doing, he was looking at Walter Walsh going, well, obviously, you know, oftentimes the ball will land down to Walter Walsh. You're marking a man who's 6'5", 6'6", who's going to catch a ball. I think Cleary's plan was just to spoil him. You know, a back will often go just to spoil. And if Walter Walsh doesn't win the ball and the ball comes to the ground, well, now Cleary can go, right, now we're in a 50-50 battle. So I think he just went to spoil him. I don't think there's any hard feelings in Kilkenny as to what happened. The ball hit him in the face. I don't think Cleary could have predicted that was going to happen, you know, but I don't think there was any malice at all in it. He knew he's marking one of the biggest fellas in the game, you know, Walter Welsh, like you said, 6'5", 100 kg, you're going to try and spoil him. I just think it was an unfortunate injury, and I didn't even hear, even, you know, I met a few lads in passing after the game and stuff, and there wasn't even any mention of it. It was, right, you know, obviously Walter got a slap in the face, but
is
there
his
wasn't.
Nose broken? No, was it his nose that got it?
It was his nose that got it. Yeah, I believe. Well, it's, I don't know, is it broken? But it's not too far off it if it isn't broken, you know. Yeah. So he did get a fair slap, and obviously didn't come back out in the second half. So yeah, it was a fair injury, but again, it was accidental, I would put it down to.
Okay, right. I'm reading too much into that. Did that ever happen to you, Damien, where a ball would come down and get you in the face? You know, it actually, it's a wonder it doesn't happen more often. Are these fellas, you know, their hand is so good, the hand would be way up over their head, I suppose. It wouldn't happen that often.
Yeah, no, it was, I'd agree with everything that Paul said there. I just think it was a freak accident, and there was no malice, or there was no, it couldn't possibly be planned or intentional, you know. So, but no, thankfully it never happened to me where a ball was hit at me. And the worst thing that would have happened to me is where when a ball being close contact, we'll say that the ball hit your privates. So that's you know, and that's a pure accident again, where someone might just pull in the ball and just hit you. So, but thankfully a ball never went through my guard and hit me in the eye or hit me in the face.
You're making me laugh, Paul. Getting in the privates. That I'd say. But Quilligan got one, an awful one in the leg off Mullen, wasn't it, for the goal? He went for a goal. He got it straight in the side of the leg. It kind of reminded me of the Waterford goalkeeper
Stephen O'Keefe running
out to Anthony Nash that time.
Yeah, and when the ball is travelling like that, I mean, we're going back a few years now, but I do remember when Anthony Nash's penalties were obviously, or 21s were getting in very close, and yeah, Stephen O'Keefe was the highlight of that. But yeah, the ball, again, it probably goes back to the ball is travelling quite fast as well, and if it just, look, it's accidental. If it hits you in those in the tie, it's capable of giving you a dead leg and giving you a bad bruise. But yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of those injuries that go around on the weekends that we don't even see. Those were just the obvious ones, really.
Yeah, no, they're definitely stingers. Come here, staying with you here, Paul. Paddy Deegan got a terrible raw deal with that Tony Kelly penalty, didn't he? Now, what do you say in this situation? Because a little bit curious, isn't it? There's no intention there, but he still tripped him up, if you know what I mean. So, like, what happens in that scenario? Is that just bad luck or is that a penalty?
It is a tricky one because, again, Ian Galvin wouldn't be a man to go down. And, you know, I looked at it and I've been given ones, or there's ones gone against me before for doing that. You're trying to stay really close to your marker and you're sprinting across, and it was a coming together. I mean, looking at it, even at the replay, Paddy Deegan didn't do anything to try and deliberately trip him up. But it is a tough one. I mean, the referee looks at it and Ian Galvin was in a great position to potentially get a goal.
So whether it was deliberate or not, it was still a trip.
Yeah, it was still a trip. And I suppose, look, it's a tough one to call. I think, to be honest, you know, Clare would have been aggrieved if they didn't get it. But at the same time, once, you know, the blood cooled, you'd kind of look at it and go, it's a hard one to call. You know, it's one of those ones that if you're a defender, or if a defender's looking at it, you're going, I understand what happens there. And I think even forwards understand what happens there. But it certainly wasn't deliberate. Paddy Deegan can feel hard done by, because it's not easy to stay that close to Ian Galvin, never mind not trip him, like, you know. So it was a tough one, and yeah, kind of, I suppose, like Davy Clifford's penalty at the weekend, it could have went either direction, you know. And I think I'd like to err on the side of Paddy Deegan being unlucky in that situation.
Oh, well, you're definitely taking that
not
side.
Not with Michael Kenny jersey on me here.
The cornerbacks union. What do you think, Damien? Is that just bad luck, or, like, there was no intent in it, but he still tripped him?
Yeah, there was no intention. I've seen him being given and I've seen him not being given.
Yeah.
I think what happened was, if it was in an All-Ireland semi-final or an All-Ireland final, it wouldn't be given.
Right.
That's my honest opinion. But it's like what you said. It was still a trip. So technically it is a free. But I have seen, when it comes to the bigger games at the later stages of the year, I don't think I can see them being given unless it's full tug of a jersey or something like that. But it was some finish by Tony to the top right, the penalty. He made no mistake. But I think it was a free, but I've seen them not being given.
An absolutely brilliant penalty, so it was. Like, I mean, and the clear goals are definitely something we'll talk about in part two. Waterford finished the league very strongly, gave Tipperary a bit of a trimming, and I was listening to this on the radio yesterday, and, like, I mean, they kept talking about pace, and we know Tipperary don't like pace, Paul. Like, I mean, that's the reality of it. They don't really. And Liam Cal was interviewed after the game. He says, the Waterford people just want to see a good, hard-working, honest team they'll support, like they always have done down through the years, thick and thin. That's really Liam Cal his management in a nutshell,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, like he just seems to have this Waterford team taken over. And we talked about it a few weeks ago that, you know, sometimes after being in an All-Ireland final, teams can kind of suffer that there's an expectation on them the following year. And it doesn't seem to be affecting this Waterford team. I think more so because there's a lot of players now really fighting. And we've seen other players who maybe have been on the periphery for the last few years coming back into the team and, you know, really, really taking hold. And the likes of Desi Hutchinson, we looked at him last year and he was really going well, but I think he's even improved again this year. And it was kind of funny, you know, he'd scored 2-2 off Cathal Barrett, you know, flying it, and it's no mean feat. And it's almost like they said after 40 minutes, look, we've seen enough of this, yeah. Yeah, get him off. And the likes of Jack Prendergast, probably the point, well, up there, a point of the league, you know, up the sideline. And again, just running at Tipperary. Again, Welsh Park is a tough place to go. Waterford, probably off the back of the week before, wanted to see, right, we need to sit back here a small bit further. We leaked a few goals. Look, again, a few goals went in, but they kind of sat back that little bit and used, like, Austin Gleeson was able to launch up a little bit from centre back, which I think we were talking about before was something we'd like to see him doing. So they seem to be learning each week, okay, we like this, we don't like this, we need to work at that, which is exactly what Liam Cahill wants them to be doing. And the one thing that is common with the whole league for them is their application and their work rate and how hard they're going. Things mightn't work out in some days, but they're going the right direction, and they're a great team to watch, really.
Yeah, no, they definitely are. Like, I mean, the injuries be very concerning. I'd say that's why they took off Hutchinson. He's like, no way. Gleeson, Fives and Prunty, Damien, all went off in the first half. And like, I mean, listen, we're all glad we have a championship and all those kind of things. It's just going to be very unfortunate to see some of these teams going out without some of their best players, you know, because they've been probably overdoing it a little bit.
Yeah, well, the training would have been very, very tough now over the last couple of weeks because all management teams are trying to get them, I suppose, what they call match smart and match fit, and they're also trying to get them, you know, physically fit as well, and then they're playing the league matches as well. So they are. So, yeah, you could see why Liam Cahill would have taken off Hutchinson in particular just to make certain that he didn't, because he is up to the notch, so he has from last year. So he has. But Waterford are actually a really exciting team to watch. If they can really tighten up the back, at the back, and not leak as many goals as they have been. They'll go a good bit again in this year's championship, so they will. And last year they took it by storm, so they didn't. As I said, they have some lovely hurlers and they have some lovely players to do. And Liam Cahill and his management team, I think, are after doing a great job down there. Because in fairness, he started from scratch. He dropped players, some lads said he shouldn't have dropped, and he went back to an orthodox 15. Which was an easy thing to do, Colin, because they were always playing. I don't know how you describe it. We speak about a third midfielder, but they were nearly speaking about four midfielders and one in the full forward line. So they were. So he had to change that whole thing and went back to an orthodox 15. So I think Ian Cahill, in fairness, is doing a good job down in Waterford.
No, he definitely is. I think Gleeson, you mentioned already, rolled his ankle. He'd be grand in 2 weeks. That'll strap that up altogether. But Fives and Prunty have quad muscle injuries. 2 weeks is probably pushing it for them, Paul, unfortunately.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, Fives, unfortunately, you know, both Fives have been unfortunate with injuries over the years. They just seem to pick them up, which is unfortunate for Waterford and the players themselves because, you know they're great lads and obviously very dedicated. So it's disappointing to see Shane going off the weekend. But, Conor Prunty, it'll be interesting to see to what level the quad is injured. Like you said, Austin Gleeson could strap up the ankle and tear away, but it'll be interesting to see with Prunty now. You know, there'll be a lot of icing going on over the next 3 days, and I'm sure he'll be in and out of physios because he's a fella that they'll certainly want in at full back come championship. But like you said, the quad could be a little trickier to have right for championship more than an ankle.
Yeah. Liam Sheedy was talking after the game, and Damien, you just kind of touched on this here, and he was talking about Tip training, and he says this week was a training block again, and I suppose with the temperatures the way they were, we needed every ounce of energy, so you'd have to say we weren't at our freshest today, and we'll need to be a whole lot fresher come championship, and that's something I've got to take responsibility for. So I presume a training block, I'm out of the game a long time, that they did a hard training session right during the week. You can't have to keep up with this terminology. But is that smart, Damien? Now, I'm not strength and conditioning coach, and they'll have professionals advising them and everything. Number one, from an injury perspective, you're going out to play a league game at the weekend and you do a hard session on the back of a very difficult schedule, and then the other side of it, this is the last competitive game they're going to get for in the next 3 weeks before the championship. Would you not try and squeeze the value out of that, especially as a team who's trying to iron out, you know, some playing style issues and stuff? Like, it, for me, it's mind boggling the idea they would train hard in the lead up to that game.
Yeah, I'd be on the same note. I wouldn't be able to understand that My whole opinion is if a game is worth playing, it's worth winning. And they were in the toss-up, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were in the toss-up to win the giant league, as we call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would have taken it if they won, they would have topped the group on a head-to-head with Galway. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like I can't understand that. This thing of a training block, basically, is that they're all using these big words now, Colm. As I just say, you're not allowed to use small words anymore or ordinary words. Basically, that means they did extra training sessions, and they probably did what strength and conditioning coaches. And I'm always saying this, some of these strength and conditioning coaches want to be heard and want to be seen, that they're doing their bit. Where my opinion is, the only important thing that you need to be doing at training this week was getting match sharp and first touch drills and striking and ball to hand, all that to sharpen yourself up for that game. And like that was a good game for Tip to really sharpen themselves up into another, what we call a competitive battle going into championship. So regarding them training hard, I don't know how much harder they would have trained than any other week. Maybe some of their subs might have had to train, or they're not getting as much game time. But I wouldn't be able to understand that this with the heat and the energy levels weren't up to where they should be. Maybe it's just trying to find a little excuse. But my opinion is, at this time of year, it should be all hurling and all field work. And they should have tried to avail of that game against Waterford and try to push on and win.
Yeah, look, and I completely agree with Damien. One of the things that actually popped into my mind when Liam Sheedy was saying it was, I kind of thought to myself that this might have been a small bit of maybe they actually didn't train as hard, but like you're just finishing up the league, and to avoid any kind of maybe questions being raised about, oh, you could have won the league, just as to kind of finish it off, Liam Sheedy kind of took the brunt merely for the players, right, and said, oh, we trained harder this week, that's why, you know, we're flat.
Would you find it hard to believe they trained hard the week before their very last league game?
No, like at the same time, like I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out myself whether they really did go hard or whether they didn't. Again, look, the strength and conditioning staff will make it on the call on their best judgment. But you know, they may have trained that bit too hard, maybe off the back of last weekend, and probably did one or two extra sessions that they shouldn't have. Or instead of, you know, some teams probably went with a Wednesday night session, knowing that this weekend was coming around, and erred on the side of caution. Maybe so. It is hard to know. I don't think there's too much needs to be looked into it. Like, you know, at the end of the day, Watford were really the better team overall, and the goals kind of kept Tipperary in it. But I don't think there's too much really to it that, okay, they could have been league champions. But again, look, again, it's a funny league. It's a bit of a, not a dead rubber, but were they overly being concerned about being league champions, or were they more concerned about maybe getting Seamus Callan in the game and getting a few lads onto the pitch? So I think there's not too much to it really that, you know, to be looking into it too much, you know.
I think you're 100% right there, Paul. I don't think they cared about the league. And that was my point earlier on. And as you said, they were more interested in getting game time and minutes into the likes of Seamus Callan and a couple of these lads before championship than worrying about a league. And that's why they would have trained harder maybe this week, Colm, in regarding maybe done a lot more running, a lot more fitness, trying to, what to say, putting stuff in reserve in the bank going into championship. And that's all that Liam Sheedy and his management team were worried about was championship. So that's what I think he meant by that.
Right, okay, maybe that was it. And maybe they just did one session on the Tuesday night and he's just calling it a training block. I don't really know what a training block is. So maybe they just did a tough session on the Tuesday night and maybe they're coming off, it was Westmeath they played last week, wasn't it? So they probably, so they weren't coming off tough session. So I just, when I read it first, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I was thinking, but we don't know what the training block
is. No, we don't
really
know what that actually means. So it's a one answer covers all, really. So.
Yeah, because Shane O'Neill was talking after the game yesterday of Galway, and he was like, over the next 3 weeks, we'll try and keep them fresh, but also incremental improvements so that we have them absolutely humming for championship. So he's not talking about training blocks, Damien, he's talking about freshness, which in my head, you know, a lot of that training block should have been done before you ever came back into the county team, and it should nearly be all hurling when you come in there and keeping you fresh, you know, but I don't know.
I believe every word that Shane O'Neill is saying there. That the one thing he knows is Galway in a good place at the moment. What they're scoring is phenomenal. So I actually I wrote down their scoreline over the last 5 games. Like, it's been absolutely incredible. Like, and he really has them in a good place. To be fair, I even wrote it down. Against Cork, they scored 25. Against Waterford, they scored 428. Against Tipperary, they scored 20 points. Against Limerick, they scored 26 points. And against Westmeath, they scored 534. Like he has Galway in a really good place. So what he wants to do is just keep them match sharp. Wants to keep them very, very sharp, very, you know, and then they'll play their 15-a-side match one of the days. He doesn't need to, and he knows what his team is going to be now. He had a very good squad there now. I think he's picking from a squad of 23, 24 players there now for the first 15 like this, and he's going to try to keep them in a really good, hungry manner like this, but he's not going to dog them, that's for certain. And I think Galway are a good place. Yeah. And Shane O'Neill is doing quite a good job.
Oh, he definitely is. We'll talk a little bit more about Galway in part two. Like, I mean, I was looking at the Laois Armagh result because we only saw some highlights of this, and I was thinking, geez, that looks like a decent performance from Laois, you know? Like, I mean, it was a last minute goal to kind of push it out to four. They competed really well and it's difficult to go up there. And then I was looking through the Armagh team, James Naughton, Keelan Malloy and Neil McManus, they weren't playing. And then I'm thinking, geez, Laois can't go up, Paul, and beat, you know, an Armagh team or an Antrim team that are resting players.
Yeah, look, again, Laois were looking to try and finish strong. And again, the goal at the end for Antrim was really what, I suppose, created that gap just at the end on the scoreboard. But a good performance out of Laois, you know, and they got the goals as well. So it was tough to go up there. Antrim are enjoying themselves up there at the moment. And look, we were talking at the start of this league of Antrim with the great performance against Clare. And Antrim have just seen it out. You know, they've really performed really well after getting the draw with Wexford up there as well. And probably on form, we expected them to beat Laois, but they still went out and did it. You know, it was by no means a foregone conclusion, you know. So look, Laois weren't too far away in the match, but again, it probably lacked the edge of the matches over the last few weeks, maybe, that Antrim have experienced. But still, you know, Antrim got the scores they needed to get, and they finished out on a really strong note, which was, look, I suppose, which is what they really wanted to do. This was probably one of the games that would have penned off that we... expectations is we want to win this match, and if we get results with Clare and Wexford like they did, well, that's a bonus. But so the fact that they went out, performed really well, and then just sealed the victory with the goal at the end, I think they'll be happy enough with that victory.
Reading the Laois, or the report on Laois Today website, Laois had 20 wides, so like, I mean, they were well in the game. Like, on paper, Damien, it looks like a terrible year for Laois. Five league games, 5 losses, and I don't want to talk about the football. That's 4 league games, 4 losses. We haven't won a game yet in nine league games.
Yeah, we might as well be straight up and say it doesn't look good for Laois. You know, they're on the back of Eddie Brennan, you know, and the work that he has done. And I suppose they looked in the last 2 years, they made huge improvements under Eddie. So Cheddar wouldn't be that happy with the way things are going. I think Franny Ford is training them as well. So, as you said, they had a lot of wide yesterday. It's not an easy place to go up to Antrim and get a win. Ask Davy Fitzstat. Antrim are actually going quite well. They're buying in to Gleeson, everything that he's saying, and all the improvements that he's making, and they've built on last year, which is very, very important. Like this was, you know, as the league campaign goes, it wasn't good, and it didn't look good on paper either in the whole league and with the results and the scoreline. So Laois have a lot to do now come championship, and they have it all to do.
Yeah, we have to pick it up in hurling and football. Finish up on Dublin. Another not a very good story for Dublin. You know, lost convincingly yesterday, even though they got a penalty. They only scored 8 points from play, Paul. Like, I mean, I was looking through it, like, and very few players. You see some teams, and Jesus, there's a spread of scores, you know, half back lines, corner backs. I think 4 of their players scored.
Yeah, it's
like,
not
they really
great,
are not playing well.
No, they're kind of, I suppose, they're running out of things to do with the team, and really excuses, I suppose, at this stage. Again, we saw Liam Rush now up at full forward again, which I was, you know, when I heard it yesterday, I was saying, I wonder how Liam Rush feels about that he's centre back 1 week, full forward another week, and he's capable of playing in these positions. But I think it just shows that maybe Matty Kenny he still doesn't know what he wants to do with the team, which is, you know, it's unfortunate for Matty. But yeah, I mean, Dublin, similar to Laois, won't be happy with this league campaign. They still look like they don't know what they want to do for championship. Now, that's not to say they don't have the players to turn around. You know, they have Donal Burke, Chris Crummy, Liam Rush. They have great players there. Danny Sutcliffe. It's just a matter of what do they want to do. They don't seem to know what they want to do yet.
He's at risk of losing the dressing room, Paul. You know, if he keeps chopping and changing constantly like that, is he?
Yeah, well, it's a risk, you know, because again, players just want to know, what are we about? What are we doing? Where, you know, what do we see some sort of the team taking shape? And I think most teams from the league would have said, I mean, even Clare had a bad start to the league, but after yesterday, now I think we can all kind of see this is taking shape, and John Conlon is starting to work out and all these things. Whereas Dublin aren't in that position at the moment, similar to Laois. You know, Wexford probably had a middle of the road sort of a league, you know, they were going well, but then, you know, maybe not like Kilkenny beating them and different things. But Dublin really are just just kind of looking around and what are we about? What are we doing? What's our team? And, you know, the games are over. We're looking at championship now. So it's not a great place for them. They're capable of turning it around. Where that's going to come from, though, I don't know, to be honest, at this stage. But, you know, they have a few weeks to get it sorted and figure out what are we going to do and what team are we going to put out.
Yeah, you wouldn't have too much faith in them sorting it, Damien. They've Antrim in the championship and that won't be in Parnell Park either.
No, I don't think you can just turn it on and off in 2 weeks. Do you know, and as Paul said, and he's rightly so, that, you know, the league wasn't that long of a league, you know, and you have to try to get a formation together and at least settle all the foundation positions at number 3 and number 6, 11 and 14. And now they've rushed on from centre-back, we'll say, to full forward. And that's basically just to try get a target man, just to, so basically he'll try win a few balls and win a couple of frees, get a couple of scores. Dublin are in a very similar position, so they are to Leash. I think they had a very, very poor league campaign. But you would have said last year, if this was the game, Dublin v Antrim, you'd say, Dublin will definitely win that. But you wouldn't guarantee it now. And Antrim, would be in a great position to take on Dublin and beat them. So they would. But I personally think Dublin are going nowhere.
Yeah.
For the summer, I might as well say it's Strauss.
No, I would agree with that. I don't think they're going anywhere this year. Then they seem to be going backwards under Matty Kenny. Right, we'll leave it there, lads, and we'll talk about the matches. So Galway 325, Cork 223. Damien, you must be delighted. You mentioned all the scores that they're running up. Am I right in saying they've abandoned their sweeper as well? I remember Pádraig Mannion playing at midfield last year and dropping back as a sweeper, and a little bit conservative. They don't seem to be doing that at all. They seem to be maybe the most kind of conservative thing they're doing is playing Adrian Toohey as a wing forward maybe and working from there. But like, not, it's not taken away from their attacking play.
Yeah, well, last year they did play a sweeper, and it's something that Galway never tried before. And I've always said this with a sweeper. The sweeper must be fierce intelligent, he must be fierce energetic, and he must be an unbelievable strike of a ball. And if you have a right good sweeper that can carry ball and do overlaps and get back to help out his defence. And personally myself, I didn't think it really suited Galway. Like, they were hitting balls up the field last year and nearly hitting it to the opposition sweeper, or the opposition sweeper was helping out the defence like this. So Galway have kind of gone back to a 15-on-15. I think they've found a couple of players. Evan Nyland is definitely one player that they've found, in regards that he's another option of a free taker. Do you know, for example, if Joe Cannon got injured or anything that happened, that they have another option. It's not just take him off the bench and hope that he puts them over. They now know that he can do it. I think Conor Cooney is starting to show a rich vein of form again. Then the Mannions are playing well. Kulcannon is going well in the corner. Conor Whelan is still a dynamo in the corner. I think he's a great player. So I do. And then there's other players that still can't make the team, like Jason Finn, which is it's a good sign that the whole. I think he's got a good squad of players going. I think he's about 25 right good hurlers. They've right good forwards, and hopefully they can keep it pushed on for championship. But as I say, Galway at the moment are in a good place.
They definitely are. And like, I mean, 2 weeks in a row now against Waterford and Cork, they've been 7 behind and come back to win fairly well, Paul.
Yeah, yeah. They seem to be kind of in cruise control at the moment. You know, 6 points down against Cork and turned it around. We were talking about this 12-point turnaround, you know, and they're well able to recognise as well where there's a problem on the pitch. You know, Cork were just tipping on ahead. They used the half-time well, sat back that small bit more and pushed up Cathal Mannion towards half-forward. And Cathal Mannion's the man pulling strings at the moment. You saw he set up Conor Whelan for his goal with incredible 65-yard pass or whatever it was, went in for his own goal. But he was linking the forwards really well. But they weren't, it's not that a case that they had to overly exert themselves. They used the ball really well. They were getting their scores, like Damien was saying, and then, you know, they have lads popping up all over the place that are showing good form as well. So, and a big criticism of that people would have criticised Galway for the last few years, especially when they won the All-Ireland, was not scoring goals. And I mean, it's 7 in the last week they've scored, you know, and created goals. Not a case that these just happened to fall for them. They're creating them, there's runners coming through, and they're clinical as well. So they've, like Damien was even saying as well, they've really racked up high point scores for goals now as well. They have that threat as well. So they're adding to, I suppose, the threat they have up front, which again, coming for a championship, they at the moment are the form team, really. I know, of course, Limerick are there, but in terms of complete form throughout the league, Galway were the team showing that in a very competitive 1A.
I think when David Burke came on, he went midfield and Colm Mannion went over onto Tim O'Mahony and cleaned him out of it altogether.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of just pushed him out of the way. It wasn't really clicking the way you'd want Colm Mannion, the form we've seen him in at the moment. So they obviously just said, right, we'll just move him out of here. And for all the world, just pushed him up that small bit further. I think they'd, in fairness to Cork, had weighed off. Look, Colm Mannion has been pulling the strings here, so we probably need to follow him. Similar like we were talking with Tony Kelly. What do? Do you go and follow him? But once Colm Mannion pushed up, he just got out of the way and was able to find that ball a small bit more and used it then really well. So it's great that if things aren't working for the likes of Colm Mannion midfield, that they're able to push him in half forward. Doesn't affect him anyway. It only affects him positively, really. And they can get him back into the game, which is what Galway want to do. And the ability to recognise that and change it at half time, that's a brilliant thing to have. And, you know, Shane O'Neill will be very happy with that.
He will. Like, I mean, the one thing we've been saying, Damien, the last few weeks here about Galway is the options that they have and the versatility of all their players. And, like, they're missing Johnny Cohen and Joe Canning out of midfield, which he's been using in midfield. Like, where do you see that all settling down?
Well, he's basically, to be fair to Shane O'Neill, I think he's just looking for more options and he's looking for extra players, you know, in that regard, as in to see, you know, what different options he has for the championship. Like, even just yesterday, they tried Gareth McInerney fullback, even though I've no doubt that Dahi Burke will be fullback come chat, but he's just experimenting. He's experimenting, especially up the middle. Colm Mannion even to midfield. Even though I prefer to see him in the half forward line, but he also tried, as I said, Joe midfield. It's just he's just trying stuff. Like he's just seeing how would the team play and how would it look if they did play Joe Cannon midfield and Evan Nyland centre forward, or how would things fare out? How would Joe fare out at midfield? Would he be playing too defensive? Would he still get on the score list? Would he become a link man? So I think he's trying stuff up. Would I be surprised to see Joe midfield? I wouldn't. Just being honest, I wouldn't. If lads, he can maybe be the link player. If lads can find him with the ball, he'll hit good ball into the inside line. But himself and Johnny Cohen midfield, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened, because as Paul just alluded there, like it could be a simple change that Joe plays midfield, and next thing Colm Mannion be wing forward, and next thing within 15 minutes the two boys change for a few minutes again. You know, he's just getting different options. That's it. But he's tried players. I think he has found players, and some lads have found Rich Fain in form, and the likes of Kilcannon, these boys have come on another notch again from last year. So as I said, I think Galway are in a good place and are looking quite good. You know, in 2 weeks they can push on again. It's not a case of switching this light switch and next thing we'll try something different. He's got all his main players firing and going very well.
Isn't it very impressive with Galway the way they're able to play so well and still experiment? Do you know what I mean? You see other teams, they were experimenting. You know, they'll use it as an excuse. Galway are performing really well while experimenting with their best players.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a great sign. It's just that you can move players in and out, take players off, move players in positions, but the team still know what they're doing.
The
system doesn't change. And like what Damien was saying, what I think is a great thing that we were talking about, you know, how do you beat Limerick? Because people are going to be looking at how do you beat Limerick, and we're saying you have to ask questions. And how do you ask questions of them? The likes of, let's say, Evan Nyland. If Evan says centre forward, and a few weeks ago I was kind of questioning, will Joe Canning be at midfield? Don't think he will. But as I look at it now, you know, when Shane O'Neill will be sitting down to have a look at, let's say we're playing Limerick or we're playing Kilkenny or whoever, you could start Joe at left half forward, Colm Mannion midfield. Now Colm Mannion goes to right half forward, Joe goes to midfield, Conor Cooney pops up, and suddenly now you're asking questions on the pitch that the players on the pitch have to deal with. But Galway will know what they're doing. You know, if Galway rotate, maybe for a 5 minute there, you might have a man marker who's right half back marking Joe Canning. And he's asking now, do I go with Joe Canning? Joe Canning's midfield, do I go with him? And now Colm Mannion's up beside you, who do I go with? And they're the questions that teams will want to ask. And I suppose they'll want to ask them on the pitch so that, you know, other teams don't have a chance to react. They have to try and deal with this on the pitch. And the fact that they're able to do that so seamlessly is now going to be a problem for teams going forward. Where's Joe Canning going to pop up? Because he could pop up at the edge of the square. He could be full forward. And then we're still talking again, Colm Mannion. You know, we saw Dahi Burke drifting up the pitch. So they're in a great position to ask questions of any team they face at the moment. And like you said, they're just tipping along, experimenting, and they're after basically winning the league at the moment. I mean, it's a great position to be in.
It is a great position. Yeah, you mentioned the rotating. I remember when we played Dublin in around the 03, 04, 05, they had a system where when they scored a point, all their forwards moved move to the right one, because they're all comfortable enough. And it does, when you see that happening, you're like, am I following? It does cause a bit of confusion, especially when fellas are given man marking details and other fellas aren't.
Yeah,
you know, now you're one, what are we doing here?
And Damien, I think Damien would probably, we can probably talk about it now, but 2012 in the Leinster final, that was something that Galway did do, you know, and I would have been in corner back, and let's say Damien would have been on me, they would have got a point. And that's what we could see after the match, but it wasn't something we were prepared for, and Damien would probably tell you more about that than I would, but we weren't prepared for that. And then suddenly Joe was in the corner and on me, and then a play would go by and Joe would be out left half forward then, and that's what we're talking about. So now the players on the pitch have to deal with that. The management can kind of do very little at that time because it's happening in real time. You can't correct that, and if you're not prepared for it, it's a real test when you're on the pitch. So it looks like that they're doing, there's no pattern to it, they can just move things around, and it'd be a great tactic come for championship.
Yeah, was that your thing, Damien, get a score and move a position, or what way did you work it?
Yeah, well just the day, that particular day in the Leinster final, I had a third midfielder role, and I always remember I started the game at centre forward actually. And when the ball was thrown in within seconds, I was out in the third midfielder role, and I think David Burke went straight across and wing forward to centre forward. You know, but the most important thing on that with the lad rotating column is that it's okay to rotate, and with all the six forward understand it. But when the ball breaks down, or when the ball goes over the bar, goes wide, when it comes to the opposition goalie team, that everyone is back in their position, even if it's not the right position, picking up a man. Because what can happen easily is that you might be playing corner forward, next thing you've gone out to wing forward. Like, you don't want to leave Paul Murphy loose at corner back, and next thing he gets sharp puck out because no one is marking him. So that's a system, but everyone reverts back into normal 15-man formation. But yeah, we did it against Kilkenny. Look, it worked that day. That was the only time it ever worked against Kilkenny. Anytime we played Kilkenny, they mostly hammered us, right? But that particular day, it worked for us. There was a great story that time, Paul, actually, that we were playing in the Leinster final, and some lad in Portumna was out golfing, and they asked him, you're not going to go up to the match? And he goes, I wouldn't bother going up looking at them Galway lads. And after 15 minutes, we were up whatever 10 or 12 pints, and someone says, they're up 12 pints, and they tell you them Galway lads were useless. But as I said, once everyone knows their role, column, you can rotate and you can switch one. Once everyone knows their role and the role has been completed, but it does it can cause huge confusion to opposition backs, and the opposition backs can get fierce vocal and start giving out to each other, that's your man, pick him up, you should be picking him up, that's my man, you know. So it can get very ratty as well.
You see, that's the thing. Like, I think it's great. I do take Damien's point. On the rotation, it could work against you for puck outs, because you're not quick enough to get over to where you're going. But I can imagine you playing corner back, you're marking a corner forward, he goes out to wing forward, you might follow him for a minute, and then by the time you figure it out and you swap with the wing back, another score's gone over, and now he's moved into the centre forward, and now you're like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, exactly, that's it. And as well, let's say if we're talking in a Galway point of view in that position, it does kind of leave it open if you need a lot of honesty from the forwards, because if a forwards are rotating and a lad is tired, he can kind of go, I was actually centre forward, or I didn't know where I was meant to be. It requires 100% honesty.
Right.
And also from the backs as well, let's say the backs who are facing that, if I'm standing corner back, there's I suppose a flip side to the coin there, that if my man is out the field and the goalkeeper hits a long one, it's actually to my disadvantage, because now I'm now looking out and Damien Hayes is 65 metres out the pitch, and I have to scamper out the pitch to try and get to him because he's an extra man out around the field. So do I now run out and try and catch him? And that's where the confusion happens, because your cornerback is now missing. He's now gone running out the field because he's looking at his man, not wanting his man to score. So if the forwards buy into it, it's a great tactic, and it can lead to savage confusion in the backs. But there needs honesty.
But that's it. But the point I make about it, Paul, it only works once.
Yeah.
By the time, I'm sure you had team meetings going, lads, stay in your positions.
Yeah.
They're coming to you, right?
Yeah.
So that, I presume that's what you did for the final then in 12, obviously, or did Galway not do it again?
I don't think they really did it again in the final. I can't remember, because I just remember being on Davy Burke for the whole thing. Now, men marking or man marking, because that's also a thing I'd always say with backs, that if there's a problem in the back line, go with your man, and you'll see where the problem is very quickly, because you're if you're just following your man, well, you'll see what's happening and you see the pattern they're doing. I can't remember what happened for the final because I just remember I was on Davy Burke, which I presume maybe we did a man marking job.
Well, then you just either all follow your men, yeah, or you stay in your position.
Either all follow your men. And I remember being out left half back at the times there and centre. So I presume we just followed because we said if they do this, well, we don't want the same thing happening again. So go with them, and then it makes it absolutely irrelevant and we're all accountable then to who we're marking.
Well, that's what you did do, because I remember I was at that game and Tommy Walsh was cornerback for a lot of that game, a lot of the first half, until you maybe changed it at half time. You were probably out wing back then. That was it. You man marked, so that's the way to fix it, or else just stay in your positions and let them come to you. Quickly on Cork, Damien, I saw Harnady was back. He was taken off. How did you think he got on? And did Cork
basically Harnady just did once again? Cork wanted to get him game time. They wanted to get him minutes into the leg. He's very important to them. Like, genuinely, he's very, very important to them. I think he's a great player. I think they need him more now than ever. To give Patrick Horgan in particular a bit of a hand and support up front. I think Cork would have been very disappointed with the way the game finished yesterday for them. I think they were well in control and they got back into the game. I also think they overplayed the ball. I was watching the game and I was trying to analyse Cork, and I seen them a couple of times yesterday. Like, you had the fullback gets the ball and he hits it to number five. The number five then solos a little bit and he hits it out to number nine, I guess. But where, for example, the number three could have hit it straight to number nine straight away. They're actually, I know there's a saying, they're hitting one pass too many, but they genuinely are hitting one pass too many. They could be hitting the ball from the fullback to the centre back, and then they play an awful lot of short puck outs to their two cornerbacks. And I don't fully know, are the two cornerbacks fully comfortable with this short game, but because they're coming out solo and they're sometimes giving very bad passes up the field. I can see what Cork are trying to do. They're trying to play the possession game and they're trying to play, give the best ball and give the best options. But sometimes there's nothing wrong, Colin, with driving a ball route one into number 14 and hope that it breaks or he catches it, and let all the fast lads, Cadigan and any of the boys, get in around it and see can they score. But I think they're overplaying it. They're playing one pass too many in the forward line. And it looks great when it works out, but geez, when it doesn't work out, it looks shocking. And when the crowd are on their back, it doesn't look good either. Harnady got game time and he will be playing in championship. They need him.
Continue going cornerbacks, Paul. They're not too worried about the Limerick mauling.
Yeah. It's an interesting one that Damien's saying there. Like, you know, we're still talking about Cork with their puckouts. And again, I mean, they're facing Limerick in a few weeks. And they seem to do a lot right at the weekend again against Galway. But they're just in a small bit of a funny position at the moment. Are they going to stick to this sharp puck out thing that they're not really varying it up too much? Like Damien is saying, they're one pass too many. We see what happens when you play Limerick. Limerick will break that down and will happily break that down and turn it back around. But the funny thing is, when Cork are getting the ball into the full forward line, they're actually getting a few results off it. And Jack O'Connor is showing with that, and they're quite clinical. You have Patrick Horgan on the edge of the square. So like Damien is saying, route one ball and ask a few questions by sending it in long. I think if you go too much with any one tactic, and this being the sharp puck out tactic, you're becoming a little bit too predictable.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, you're facing Limerick. You know, really ask questions here now. Unless Cork are going to come out now in a few weeks and go completely all along and completely surprise Limerick, if they keep going with this, I mean, you're going to keep getting the same results, which I don't think Cork want at the moment. They need something a little bit different. They need someone to, I suppose, take charge of it. And for the results they're getting with the sharp puck outs, it doesn't seem to be reaping the rewards that they really want or that they maybe envisaged was going to happen.
Yeah, I think they might look at the stats.
I can guarantee you the Limerick hurling camp, their training sessions, a lot of their training sessions is, if they're playing, even just doing drills, is starting with a sharp puck out and getting their corner forwards ready, whoever's in corner forward, ready to break down the ball straight away, because Cork are hitting an awful lot of short balls. And I guarantee you, Limerick, because they're a top team, they're practicing this and they're getting ready for this, because they know that Cork are going to hit, I'd say, 3 out of 5 puck outs are going to go short, and they'll drive too long like this, and they're practicing this. This is where the breakdown, and they're going to turn over scores. This is where they're going to, and this is what they're linking themselves to for the championship in 2 weeks' time. And as I said, the Cork, even Cork there, yes, I know it was this. So the ball hit to the cornerback, and the cornerback carried it, and he gave a little stick pass, a 10-yard stick pass out to the wing-back. And the wing-back then tried to turn, and he started going up the field. Like, what would have been wrong if the cornerback carried it 10 yards and drove it 80, 70, 80, 90 yards across the pitch, across diagonal ball, in toward the corner forward, run out in front of him, and the ball bounced in front of him? Like, I think they're getting scores, but I think there's too much breaking down with Cork, and I fear for them in 2 weeks' time. I think they could get it up in 2 weeks' time, or maybe they're going to have a huge work ethic Cork in 2 weeks' time and hope that Patrick Horgan will hit 14 points from place balls and get a couple from play and work up. But I just can't see them beating Limerick.
No, at this point you can't, because if it's breaking down in a low-intensity league game, Paul, like, I mean, this is going to be high-intensity, and like Limerick in the Gaelic grounds in the league, that's about 70%.
Yeah. It's hard to see it at the moment where it's going to come from. Now, I know I said last week there that I still hold out hope that Cork are capable. They're capable of, on their day, really performing well. Like Damien said earlier, you can't just turn it on. It's going to have to come from somewhere. We can't see it at the moment. But, you know, playing Limerick on the form they're at, with the amount of players that Limerick have on the bench as well for 70 minutes, it's going to be an enormous task. And at the moment, it's hard to see anything other than a Limerick win in a few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Right, we'll leave it there, lads. We'll come back with performance of the weekend. Okay, so performance of the weekend, and I have to hold my hands up here and eat a bit of humble pie, Paul, and put John Conlon as the very first one. He'd some first half. Dropping off, covering, dominating, giving good ball in, everything that you kind of, that Brian Lowen pictured. And this is why you'd give Brian Lowen a lot of time. If this was Matty Kenny, Conlon would be back up full forward.
Yeah.
Do you get me? Like,
yeah.
Brian Lowen, rightly or wrongly, he stuck with it. This is what I believe in this year. And you look at Dermot Ryan on one side and David McInerney until he got injured. I hope he's back. That's a bloody good half back line now.
Yeah. And you consider the first week when we were talking about Antrim, it just didn't look like this was going to work. John Conlon was a little bit, I suppose, out of the game. Well, to say, he was completely out of the game really at centre back. But again, that's understandable. You know, players are trying to find their feet. Brian Lowen has stuck to his guns, like you said. And here we are talking about how well they played yesterday and how well it looked. Like John Conlon, again, we all know the size of him, but he used it really well, got on ball. And there was a few balls where he got it and just came straight out through the middle again, which is something we don't often talk about at the moment. Straight out the middle. But then I suppose maybe with his forwards hat on, was able to think about what type of ball I want to give out here. And another good quality he did as well was when he got the ball at centre back, he turned and looked to his direct wing straight away. So the wing backs, to get it out of the trouble area and get it out to them and let them deliver the ball. So he really controlled it really well and wasn't looking to do anything real selfish or to show up and to step up. And he was just getting the ball, the first things first, getting on the ball, getting possession, and then just pop it off, simple pass out to the side, let other lads deliver it. And it's great for Brian Lowen that after everything we've talked about with Clare over the last few weeks, that, you know, they are in a good position. Colm Galvin back is a great addition for them as well. You mean, they need the likes of him back. But yeah, they're a very strong half back line, and if they can keep the form they're going on, it'll be a great launching pad for Clare coming into the championship.
Yeah, because we just mentioned the half back line there, and you look at Damien. I'm sure they must. Would you like to say something on John Conlon? Because I'm sure working down selling cars down there, a lot of people would have been given out about this experiment.
Yeah, well, to be fair to John Conlon, right, would say a lot of people would have had question marks. But see, when he went back centre back, he had to readjust his own game, Con. Because all his life he's been playing up in the forwards. So he's not used to tracking the man to the same extent as he would be in the forwards. He's now facing the ball and facing the goal instead of having his back to it. He had to make a few readjustments himself, to be fair, to his own game. But see, he's now captain of the team. He's now the leader like this, and he's now grown into this role, and he's readjusting to it. And like, that's where I give a bit of praise as well to Brian Lowen. Like, he's willing to try stuff. And now, at least now they're going into championship in 2 weeks' time. They have a number three. They have a number six. They now have a centre forward. They now have Kelly flying it in the middle of the field. They have a full forward. They have Shannon has gone up full forward. They now have what we call the flank of the team, where the spine of the team. They have these regulars. Where you take Leash, bloody Dublin, a couple of these other teams, they don't have them. And Clare have been trained there by Sean Tracy. He's my own club man. And I can tell you one thing, they will be trained to last and they will be organised. Lowen is a very, very good manager and meant to be a very good man manager. And the people down here in Clare like him. but they've been trained to last now by Sean Tracy. He'd be doing a great job, but Conlon is after being a bit of a find for them there now, but they've found a number 3 and a number 6, and that's very, very positive for them.
Yeah, it definitely is. And two players that really impressed me is Aidan McCarthy and David Reedy on the two wings. Like, I mean, David Reedy got 1-2. McCarthy, he's a very unusual kind of upright way of running. He looks like he's, I don't know, like, I don't know how to describe it, but he's brilliant. That one he got off the left over by the sideline, over the bar, and they're getting a bit of a return out of those two lads, and they have a very likeable, watchable style. They go short, but they're going short with a purpose of getting it into Shanahan.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
Shane O'Donnell wasn't there. Like, I don't know if you'd compare it necessarily to Limerick, but they're mixing up the short game with a decent long game.
Yeah, yeah, and something they kind of, and it's not a negative. I think it's a compliment of the Clare forwards. Sometimes they seem to have these kind of unorthodox forwards over the last few years. Like, and again, that's not a negative. It's very much a positive, where you don't really know sometimes what they're going to do, but they're very confident on the ball. They get the ball and they run different lines, like you saw for Tony Kelly's goal. Like, there was players running. It was the movement around Tony Kelly that allowed Tony Kelly to run through the middle kind of unapproached, really. But the likes of Shane O'Donnell to come back in, sure, again, Shane O'Donnell's just a great fella to have there, because he gets the ball into his hand and he'll take on anyone, and you don't really know. Like, he'll throw the ball out, he'll solo, a lad could be pulling and dragging and he'll still go. And they've great runners all over their forward line as well. So it's a great position to be in. Like you said, you know, Reedy's been popping up with huge scores for them over the last while, which again, it's great that they're not just relying on Tony Kelly in that regard. But they're looking really strong now for Championship, and especially the fact that Shane O'Donnell was missing at the weekend is great, because other forwards then had to really step up, and obviously Shanahan are going really well as well. So they're in a great position. They're looking lively, they're looking fresh, and I think they'll be really happy with their forward line and their options for coming into Championship.
Yeah, I think they're settling down on that team as well, Damien, aren't they, with Shane O'Donnell, yeah. Shanahan. Like, I mean, you'd like Ian Galvin to buzz around in front of Shanahan a bit more. Like, a lot of ball goes to Shanahan, and sometimes when it breaks, the old school corner forward would always come around in front of him.
Yeah, well, that's it. And Shanahan, the target man, he will catch a couple of balls, which we've all seen. He caught a couple of them against Galway a couple of years ago. He's able to catch balls. In fairness, he got another nice goal there yesterday. But as you said, even if the ball is hit route 14, as I call it, right, the ball breaks, you want a corner forward, a nice nippy one, we'll say, running off it and getting onto the breaks and getting these couple of scores off it. Claire Brahana, you met there yesterday as well. Cooney, so he's corner forward. I thought he was very lively. He was a nice hunter as well. So he did. And what you call it? But no, as you said, Clare have built on a bit again from last year. Look, they're not going to win in All Ireland. We're not going to make out the Ireland, and I couldn't even see them winning the Munster Championship. But they're rebuilding and they're buying into what Brian Lohan and Sean Tracy are trying to say, and they are improving bit by bit. So they're not going to win in All Ireland, but things are improving down here.
Definitely, because it was a very topsy turvy game in that Kilkenny had it won. Clare got the two goals. Kilkenny responded brilliantly. Then Clare came back. Like, I mean, it was actually a brilliant game.
Yeah, it was a great game. And, you know, I think both sides were obviously dealing with injuries then, and there was players coming on and off. But it was a great game. Like, I think Kilkenny would be disappointed with the four goals going through. Again, a bit of Tony Kelly brilliance. But also, you know, the goals really came up through the centre, which is a killing thing. And lads were running straight at goal. You know, you need lads, I suppose, coming and closing lads out here, and maybe just, look, take a chance that if they pop a ball out, that if a player has it at the side, it's less dangerous. But the fact that they came up through the middle, I don't think Brian Cody will be happy with that. But it was a great game to watch. I mean, lots of goals. Mossy Keown coming on, great goal as well. So, great game to watch. Really free flowing, and again, I suppose it just had that little bit of a, it didn't have the Championship feel to it again because it was so open, but very enjoyable game to watch.
Yeah, definitely was. On Cody, Paul, got 4 points. Like, how good is he? Like, is he the next big star in Kilkenny? Like, has he got that in him? He's a very big fella. He's got a great brain. I love the way he gives nice little tasty hand passes just to lads running past him. He just mixes it up very well.
Yeah, he's a great player. He's a great head and shoulders as well, which is one probably the first things you look for with a young player, like, that he just doesn't have the the raw talent that he obviously has the head and the shoulders. Would have marked Owen in training, you know, many times over, well, last year more so, but great player. He definitely does have it all, certainly in the challenge matches pre-season last year. I mean, he racked up, I think, an enormous score. I was looking at him going, this fella could be hurler of the year now. And obviously, look, okay, form was a small bit off come to championship, but it was his first championship playing senior for Kilkenny. Yeah. But he was still excellent. I mean, he went on to be young hurler of the year. So he has everything he needs, and you know, it's open road for him, really. I think the main thing going for him is that obviously he comes from a great club who has all the experience there. He has TJ in the team. He has, you know, he can turn around and talk to Henry Shefflin if he wants for a bit of advice, which all these things will stand to him. He has all the tools there, absolutely. Great young fella as well, which also it's great to hear.
He's a cheeky young fella, is he? I see him on Twitter, him and Mullen messing around on it.
Yeah, well, if the Mullins are knocking around, there's usually a bit of cheek involved. But yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a gas character now as well. Like, but he's a good fella to follow on Twitter for no sneaky comment as well.
I saw that. All right, Desi Hutchinson, we've mentioned him already, Damien. We'll just mention his two goals. The first one was sensational, just first time pull, and then the second one was a different type of goal. But like, he's electric as well.
Oh, he's really improved again this year. Like, his first goal, the first time pull, Keane Lynch tried to do that in last year's All Ireland final and didn't pay off for him, you know. And for that goal to work, it needs to be connected on the button in the centre of the slitter. And he absolutely rifled it. He's a good player, as you said. What you call it, Liam Cahill took him off fairly quick there, we'll say, hoping that he wouldn't get injured for a championship, because he's a vital part of his cog. So he's pushed on, and he's going really well, and he's a good hurler as well. So hopefully he pushes on for championship and lights up the championship as good as he's been doing in the league. But if it goes on his last performance just there yesterday, really looking forward to watching him in the championship.
Definitely. When you think it wasn't last year, his first season.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean,
yeah.
So you look at
coming back from
soccer. Yeah. So like, I mean, when you see what he does for Ballygunner, and you know yourself, Paul, when your very first year, like the point you made with Owen Cody, like, generally you have to warm into it and find your place and get confident and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
If Desi Hutchinson keeps that graph moving the way it is, like, you're looking at a really, really, really top level player.
Yeah. And I think as well, the fact that he's marked so many players over the last while, I mean, he's marked the best defenders, he's marked the Cathal Barretts and all these lads. So I think he sees now that, you know, he has electric pace. There's no one can really match him in that way. But I think he's seen now that he's as good as what's out there in terms of corner forwards, which for the belief in championship. And if he comes good on any day, I think he's capable of scoring two or three goals, no problem at all, in championship. It's just a matter of, he has that 1 year now under the belt coming into this championship now, and after a great league, I think he's going, yeah, look, this is where I belong. I'm capable of doing serious things here for Waterford. And I think any day he's on the pitch for a spectator, it's a good day.
Anyone else from Kilkenny impress you? Derek Corcoran looked to play pretty well at halfback.
Yeah, Dara's had a good league. Any chances he's gotten, he's really taken it. And he tends to pop up with these few scores as well. He seems to be very relaxed there at right half back. And again, for a young fella stepping into the team, you know, he's just seamlessly kind of stepped in there, hurling really well. Great to see Adrian Mullen coming back there as well and popping up. Okay, he went off with the injury, but
why was his injury just a blood injury, or was it a muscle injury?
I saw a blood injury was said somewhere, and then I saw somewhere else that I think in one of the papers this morning, it was saying it was a hamstring injury. So I'm not really sure. Again, I think the fact that he's coming back from the cruciate, if there was any niggle, it would be a case of being off the pitch. So look, we'll see over the next week or so what it turns out to be, but there's no real word at the moment exactly. But look, in terms of Kilkenny there, Mossy Keown again came off the bench and had a good game. So the younger fellas there are really impressing, and it's great to see them hurling with a good level of confidence.
It's as quiet as I've ever seen TJ playing, and would I be right in saying that? I read one report, I won't say the paper, TJ was his usual imperious self or something. I thought he was moving around, couldn't really get into the game.
Yeah, he was drifting around, and he was doing, I suppose he was passing the ball off, and he was linking up players. He brought Walter Welch into the game with a great pass, got Walter into it. I think it was just the fact that, you know, Ennis is a tough place to go. Clare were well set up. You're going to have a bullseye in TJ Reid straight away, and by his own lofty standards, if he doesn't score 118 in a game, we're kind of saying he was out of the game today, he only scored 110 or whatever. But he had a very good game. Any other player, we'd probably sitting here saying he was absolutely brilliant yesterday, but because we're TJ Reid, we want him to do something exceptional each day. But he had a good game. Yeah,
right, maybe I've just got it wrong.
Damien,
what about Dara Fitzgibbon? Luke Mead and Dara Fitzgibbon. Fitzgibbon chipped in for 4 points as usual. Luke Mead, Dara Fitzgibbon, Cork's first choice midfield now. That's settled?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Been stubborn today. Fitzgibbon got some lovely scores there yesterday. I say they're going to have to do something in Cork in regard that they stick with some sort of a formation that looks good, or that lads are comfortable playing with each other, or they have to go with form. So I would think that they'll definitely, Cork will be going with Harnedy. I think Cork will be going with Luke Mead and Fitzgibbon. These guys, I think they'll be the midfield for 2 weeks' time. Yep.
Right. Any word down in the yard there about David McInerney? How bad was that injury?
No, I won't. There's no point. I didn't hear. I had no hurling people into me today.
No hurling people in buying cars this morning.
No, or in getting a quick cup of tea to talk about the matches. No, nothing.
Okay, the last one is Jack Kelly, scored 5 points from midfield. And again, you're always trying to see Picky Maher's gone back, wing back. You know, now maybe you can afford to play Jack Kelly in midfield with Paddy Purcell. But we're not getting the score in return out of Paddy anymore. I think teams have kind of made sure to have a plan for him. 5 points from play from Jack Kelly, you know, usually plays wing back. Nice little return, Paul.
Yeah, great little return. And again, from midfield, I think any player that pops up in any game from midfield with 5 points is a great return. So, look, another player who's been kind of showing well, moving between wing back now and midfield, but again, 5 points, that's a big score to be getting, especially up in Antrim as well, considering Antrim's midfield are moving well at the moment as well. It's a great return, and I suppose one of the better shining lights really for Laois over the last while, in fairness to him.
Exactly right. Okay, so performance of the weekend has to go to John Conlon, and no problem admitting when I'm wrong. Did everyone else go saying it wouldn't work? I think you said, well, actually you probably said let's wait and see.
I know John Conlon and I have great time for him, so like, I mean, he's great hurling, but I think what we said about Damien said it. I mean, he's asked to play from full forward now to centre back at inter-county level, and he completely has to approach everything differently. So from in 6 matches to turn it around to this, is, I think it's a great turnaround out of him. And yeah, 100% great fella. Yeah. And to get the performance of the weekend, I think is fully deserved.
He'll be absolutely delighted with it. And one other point that needs to be made, and Brian Lowen made it after the game, he's coming back from a cruciate. Mm. So if he was playing full forward coming back from a cruciate, he'd have to start, easing into it.
Yeah.
Where he's coming back from a cruciate into a position he's never played before, at least at inter-county level. You know, he deserves a lot of credit, and Lowen deserves a lot of credit for sticking with him. So that's it. Performance of the weekend, John Conlon. We'll leave it there. We'll be back on Thursday, and we'll talk to you all then. Good luck.
No such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do.
No, we don't.
A donkey eat a palace. There's nothing else to eat.
He was massive. Legs, ass, built. But I burst out laughing watching him.